and the Word, and man according to God's image, and he who sees Israel. This is frame number 4. The Works of Philo, Allegorical Interpretation 3, translated by C.D. Young on page 61, where Philo says, "The shadow of God is his word." And I believe it's because this is in brackets, it says logos. I believe that Rico adds logos when he sees his word. Okay. Which he used like an instrument when he was making the world. And this shadow, and as it were, model. It is the archetype of other things, for as God is himself the model of that image which he has now called a shadow, so also that image is the model of other things. As he showed when he commenced giving the law to the Israelites, he said, "And God made man according to the image of God," in Genesis 1:26. As the image was modeled according to God, and as man was modeled according to the image, which thus received the power and character of the model. The Works of Philo on Dreams 1, also translated by C.D. Young, on page 834. Philo says, this is slide number 5, "For there are, as it seems, two temples belonging to God, one being his world, in which the high priest is the divine word, his own firstborn son." And Rico adds Hebrews chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2. "Now in the things which we are saying, the main point is this. We have such a high priest, who sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which Jehovah pitched, and not man." Okay? And moving, that was slide 6, and we're going to move on to slide 7 now. The Works of Philo on the Migration of Avraham. Also translated by C.D. Young. I'm assuming that all of this is by C.D. Young, so I'm not going to keep referring to him. But on the Migration of Abraham, on page 253, Philo writes, "What then can it be except the Word, which is more ancient than all the things which were the objects of the creation, and by means of which it is the ruler of the universe, the Word being the Memra?" And Rico adds in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, being small among the clans of Judah, out of you one will come forth to me, that is the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. "Elohim, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, has at the end of these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. His Son is the radiance of his glory, the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself mediation for our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." The angel of Jehovah. The angel, according to Jewish mythology, was he who discoursed with Moses and the angel in whom God placed his name. The following from the Zohar is of interest in this case. "There is a man, if a man he is, who is an angel. This angel is Metatron, the keeper of Israel. He is a man in the image of the Holy One, blessed be he, who is an emanation from him, from God. Yea, he, the Metatron, is Jehovah. Of him cannot be said. He is created, formed, or made, but he is the emanation from God." Now, very interesting here, talking about the Metatron. If you would like to see a little bit about the Metatron, you can go to www.yashanet.com, and in that you'll find a study on Judaism 101. And in that you will find sidebars. And in the sidebars is an article, short article, about a page and a half or 2 pages, on the Metatron. And in that thing, Tovia Behano goes into some really good commentary on that, the Metatron. The Metatron, the Memra, the Word of Jehovah, all the same thing, is the basic gist. Okay, moving on. And this is slide number 10. And it goes like this. By the secret and silent act, this is from the Zohar Bereshit, chapter 1, page 86. By the secret and silent action of the divine will, from this primal luminous point radiated forth the vital life-giving spark which, pervading and operating in the great enteric ocean of forms, became the soul of the universe, the fount and origin of all mundane life and motion and terrestrial existence, and in its nature and essence, the secret operation remains ineffable, incomprehensible, and indefinable. It has been conceived of as the divine logos, the word, and called Brashit, for the same was in the beginning with God. And Rico adds that the paragraph continues, all things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made, in him was life, and life was became the light of man. Okay, so we see that John got this idea from the Zohar, or possibly got that idea from the Zohar. Okay, Colossians 1:15, this is slide number 11, who is the image of the invisible Elohim, the firstborn of every creature. Next slide, for by him were all things created and are that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So you can see that Paul also had the same idea, that the Memra, the Metatron, the Word of God, was Elohim himself. So what does the Zohar say? This, by the way, is slide number 14. And it says this. When the primal vibration of the divine word took place, it produced and impressed a wave-like motion throughout the boundless ether, in which were contained all the sounds of the alphabet from Aleph to Tav. This operation and effect is symbolized by the union of these two letters, forming the word At, or Et, as it is found written At HaShamayim, the heavens. Thus, Brashit Bara Elohim At HaShamayim signify, he, the unknown mysterious one, created Elohim, the fructifying and generative principle of the heavens, one in origin, but dual in operation. Hence it is seen that the divine word and essence designated by the word Asher is found between the fecundative and generative principles, both of which are symbolized by the same name, Ayi, in the divine appellation, Ayi Asher Ayi. Okay? Yehovah is the way that I see that. And that's the way that Yehovah introduced himself to Moshe. Iye Asher Iye. Rabbi Kimhi said, the Lord is the King Messiah. He is also the Angel of the Covenant. Rabbi Aben Ezra says, the Lord is both the Divine Majesty and the Angel of the Covenant, for the sentence is doubled. Philo Judaeus says, for those who cannot look upon the Son himself, behold him in his reflected light. Even thus do they regard the image of God, who is his angel, the Memra, as Elohim himself. In Yohanan, John 1:1, this is in slide number 17. It is written, in the beginning was the Memra, and the Memra was with Elohim, and the Memra was Elohim. What do we have here? He has this in Hebrew, and it's kind of bunched together. It looks like, wait a minute, I can't make it all out. Mivra Varos Yat At Artziat, it looks like. Hasmim, or Mayim. Okay. I don't know exactly where we're going with that. Here we go. Genesis 19:4, the Tanakh says, "And Yehovah rained brimstone and fire upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah from Yehovah's." I believe that's probably what we just saw in the Hebrew. I could not make it out. The Targum on Genesis 19:4, "And the Memra, word of Yehovah, caused to descend upon the peoples of Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from Yehovah in heaven." So, again, we see the looks like two entities working, but the one is the word of Yehovah acting as Yehovah from heaven. And the word of Yehovah is not separated from Yehovah. So, very interesting thing there. According to Targum Ankelas, this Memra of Yehovah that Abraham trusted in, "And Abraham trusted in the Memra of Yehovah, and he accounted it to him for righteousness," in Genesis 15:6. So he trusted in the word of Yehovah, the Memra. No questions or comments yet? Okay. Midrash Rabbah, this is slide number 22. Midrash Rabbah, Genesis 44 and verse 1. "After these things, the Memra of Yehovah came unto Abram in a vision." That can't be right, can it? 44? Well, anyway. Etc. Oh, by the way, that was in chapter 15 and verse 1. "It is written, as for Elohim, his way is perfect. The Memra of Yehovah is tried. If his way is perfect, how much the more he himself? Rob said, the precepts were given only in order that man might be refined by them. For what does the Holy One, blessed be He, care whether a man kills an animal by the throat or by the nape of the neck? Hence, its purpose is to refine, try man." Another interpretation, "His way is perfect," alludes to Abraham, "for it is written, and thou foundest his," that is Abraham's way, "faithful before thee." "The Memra of Yehovah is tried," intimates that the Holy One, blessed be He, tried him in a fiery furnace. "He is a shield unto all them that take refuge in him. Hence, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield," and etc. Now, that is very interesting. We were talking about this last night. Deanne, by the way, gave us a really good, thought-provoking study last night. And Bill Pathless and Teresa and I were there to, and also Liz Pathless were there, and we had a good discussion. And part of it was one that Bill brought out, that we don't get delivered from the earth; we get delivered through the tribulation. Not from the earth for the tribulation, but through the tribulation, we're delivered the same way that delivered in the lion's den. He was in the lion's den, but he was delivered by Elohim through that. And as his three friends, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, were thrown into the fiery furnace, and Yehovah was there with them and delivered them through that, so to the point where they didn't even get the smell of smoke on them. And in the same way, we will be delivered through tribulation. And so we need to be very careful about our holding to or anything like the pre-tribulation rapture. It's just not going to happen. We're going to be carried through it as we trust Yehovah, as we trust the Memra of Yehovah, and not taken out, so that we don't have to suffer. And Bill brought up the idea, you know, how if the prophets suffered all these things, what makes us think that we won't? That we won't have to live through that? What is the address for the Metatron? I'm sorry, it was at www.yashanet.com. That's yashanet.com. And when you get there, on the home page is a link to Judaism 101. I think there's actually a banner in the middle of the page, to Judaism 101. Click on that, and when you get there, there's a thing there for sidebars. If you click on the sidebars, you'll find in there an article on the Metatron. Okay? Were there any other questions that I missed? Okay. Then let us move on to the next slide, which is slide number 23. Come on. Here we go. Abram prayed in the name of the Memra of Yehovah. In the Jerusalem Targum, Genesis 22:14, they say, "And Abraham worshipped and prayed in the name of the Memra, the word of Yehovah, and said, 'You are Yehovah who does see, but you cannot be seen.'" Interesting. Oh, thank you, Rip, for putting that in the text. If you can keep that up, that would be good. They don't have to go looking for it that way. Okay, Jerusalem Targum, Genesis 16:13. "And Hagar praised and prayed in the name of the Memra of Yehovah, who had revealed himself to her." Okay, so Hagar did the same thing. Next slide, I believe, is number 25. "It was this Memra of Yehovah that Jacob also trusted in. And the word vowed a vow, saying, 'If the Memra, word of Yehovah, will be my support, and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Memra of Yehovah be my Elohim.'" Wow. Wow. That is from Targum Onkelos on Genesis 28:20-21. Okay, moving on to the next slide. King David also urged Israel to trust in the Memra of Yah, as the Targum of Psalm 62 reads, "Trust in the Memra of Yehovah at all times, O people of the house of Israel. Pour out before him the sighings of your heart. Say, Elohim is our trust forever." That's the Targum on 62:9. The Memra of Yehovah was, according to the Targum Yonathan, the creator, and this is Targum Yonathan, Genesis 1:27, "And the Memra of Yehovah created man in his likeness. In the likeness of Yehovah, Yehovah created. Male and female created he them." The Jerusalem Targum on Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. "And the Memra of Yehovah said to Moses, 'I am he who said unto the world, Be, and it was, and who in the future shall say to it, Be, and it shall be. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" Wow. The fragmentary Targum of the Torah also expresses that the Memra of Yehovah was the creator. The first night when the Memra of Yehovah was revealed to the world in order to create it, the world was desolate and void. The darkness spread over the face of the abyss, and the Memra, word of Yehovah, was bright and illuminated, and he called it the first night. Well, that's interesting. The world was desolate and void, and darkness spread over the face of the abyss. In other words, there wasn't anything. There was just emptiness before Yehovah said, "Let there be light." Okay. That the Memra of Yehovah was the creator can also be seen in the Tanakh itself. "By the Memra of Yehovah were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the spirit of his mouth." Moving on to the next slide. Are there any questions or comments here? Doesn't look like. Next slide is number 31. "The Memra was also the covenant maker. The example of For example, the Noahic covenant was between the Memra and all mankind in Genesis 9:17. And Yehovah said to Noah, 'This is the token of the covenant which I have established between my Memra and between all flesh that is upon the earth.'" The Memra also made the Abrahamic covenant, as Targum Onkelos also paraphrases on Genesis 17:7, "And I will establish my covenant between my Memra and between you." Not Yasha.net. YashaNet.com. Eve's Garden, you have your hand up. Do you have a question or a comment? If you do, I'll give you the mic. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you the mic and you decide one way or the other.
I know the first time that I read a book that talked about the Targums, it was a little bit difficult because it was brand new. But after I completed the book, I started to get familiar with the concept that Fulfilling Torah is presenting from this presentation, and where this is derived from, that it all made sense to me, was John, and John is the first one to present the Logos theology, the theology of the Mimra. He's pulling it in, but then the other Gospels, the other Synoptic Gospels pull it in, but not as obviously as John does. And John 1, he very clearly says that the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was in the beginning, the Word came and dwelt among us. And so what this presentation is saying is exactly what John was trying to teach us in his Gospel, that the Mimra, the only difference is in the New Testament we use the term word, the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. But in the Targums, instead of using the Word like the New Testament does, it uses the Mimra and replace, but it means the same thing. So in these instances that this teaching is presenting, it's very consistent with John's theology, John's Gospel. And then additionally, the thing that I came to the conclusion about was the Word. It said many times that the Word spoke to Abraham. The Word spoke to Jacob. The Word actually came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. The Word came and spoke with him. So these instances where in the Bible it says the Word spoke, as if the Word is an entity, that's because the Word is. The Word is the Mimra. And when it took on some type of form or emanation, it was usually as the angel of the Lord. It presented itself, the Word, which we know was birthed into Yeshua through the womb of Mary, but prior to his birth in the Old Testament, this Word, which is used, the term Mimra is used in the Targums consistently, is frequently talking about the angel of the Lord when he actually presented himself in some type of form for the speaker or the person he was speaking to interact with. Otherwise, like in the garden, it's just said that the voice of God walked in the garden. But we see this term Mimra being used in the New Testament, and I just wanted to make that clear if that connection had not been made by the other people in the room. Thank you, Fulfilling Torah.
Thank you for that explanation. Yes, you are correct, of Kushnet Bill. It is a wonderful and beautiful description of the Father's divine majesty and his supreme power. You are absolutely correct. I'm looking at www.yashanet.com/studies/, and we have here Derech Hashem, the way of God. Very good study as far as he goes on it. He doesn't go all the way through it. Also, website studies on the book of Matthew, the book of Romans, and the book of Revelation. And if you go back to the homepage, the Yashanet homepage, you will find there Judaism 101. The homepage is yashanet.com/index. And what happened to Judaism? Oh, I'm sorry. Judaism 101 is not. I'm sorry. But the Derech Hashem, I believe, is the one that we need to use. Hang on a second here. All right, it's been a while since I've been here, so let me... Hang in there. Maybe I was incorrect. This happens at times. Not often. Ah, here we go. I'm sorry, it's the Revelation study. And at the bottom of the page, I believe. No, I was incorrect on that. But throughout, there are a lot. This is all a bunch of sidebars right here. And it teaches on Israel, the temple and the priesthood. And if you look at under the temple and the priesthood, section 2, you will find a thing there called the Metatron. Okay, so that is at this page, www.yashanet.com/studies/revstudy/background.htm. And if you'll slide down a little bit, there you see the background articles. And section 1 is on Israel, section 2 is on the temple and the priesthood, and the third one down there is Metatron. Looking at it right now, it does exist. Okay, so there you go. Thank you, Rip. That is the link. And be careful of the Revelation study because it is very deep and it uses not only the Targums but also the Zohar and all kinds of things to make its points, because the Revelation is a very, very deep book. It's not something that you can really understand. Unless you get into some really, really deep mystical stuff from the rabbis. Okay, let's see. And I will establish my covenant between my Memra and between you. Now we're moving on to the next slide, which is slide number 32. Where it says, the Memra of Yehovah is the Savior, and is expressed elsewhere in Targum Yonatan on Isaiah 45:17-25. But Israel shall be saved by the Memra of Yehovah with an everlasting salvation. By the Memra of Yehovah shall all the seed of Israel be justified. The Targum of the lesser prophets, the small prophets, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 5. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Judah shall be my strength, in the Memra of Yehovah of hosts, their Elohim. The Ruach of Elohim is explained as being Melech HaMashiach. And the Spirit of Elohim hovered. This alludes to the Spirit of Messiah, as you read, and the Spirit of Yehovah shall rest upon him, in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. And the merit of what will eventually come, in the merit of what will eventually come, for the sake of that which hovered over the face of the waters, i.e. the merit of repentance likened to water, as it is written, pour out thy heart like water, in Lamentations 2:19. Rav Haggai said in the name of Rav Padat, a covenant was made with water, that even in the hot season a breeze stirs over it, in Bereshith Rabbah 2:4. The Spirit of Elohim hovered. This alludes to the Spirit of Messiah. Next slide. Speaking of the Memra, Gershom... Oh, wait a minute. Eves Garden has her hand up again. Eves, take the mic.
I just like to make, at the time of Christ, at the time of Messiah and before then, in the synagogue, it was customary that, can I be heard? Hello? Testing? Okay. In the synagogue, it was customary that not only did they read the Torah on Shabbat and all the days that they were there to study and worship God, but they also read the Targums. And the reason they read from the Targums was because they were written as commentaries by Jews, Jewish scholars, to explain the Torah to the common person. The Torah was in Hebrew, and most of them, I don't want to say most, but when it was read in Hebrew, they used the Targums to further illustrate what the Torah meant. And so it was well known when John was explaining this concept of the Mimra, of the Logos, of the Word of God. It was like all the Jews knew about what's being presented in these Targums that are in the text, these slides. So the point I'm making here is that Judaism, the gap between Judaism and Christianity, when you pull in the understanding that they had at the time of Messiah and prior about who is being spoken of, who this angel of the Lord was, that he could come and be as God to them, that in essence he had the Shekinah of God, the glory of God upon him, and they were aware of this. So given that, this, if you want to call it an angel, but I use that in a hesitant manner, but for lack of another term, this Metatron could hold these positions of God and have his name on him or in him, and they knew this concept, which is not very far from where we are with our Messiah, that he came in the Word and became flesh. The reason why today you never hear the Jews or the anti-missionaries talking about the Targums is because they still have this information. I asked a rabbi about 6 months ago, do you read the Targums? Are you requested to read, or do you have to read the Targums when you study? And he said yes. He reads the Targums daily. So then I brought to his attention that the Word of God was there and it was called God. So we didn't have much discussion beyond that. But when you understand that the Jews have an understanding of who Jesus was prior to him taking on flesh, and we know who he is when he took on flesh, where the gap begins to get really short and really it closes up. The only problem is they won't speak about it because they know that we'll conclude that that Metatron, this angel of the Lord, was Jesus before he became Jesus. And they don't want us to get to that point. They don't want us to establish that. But the truth is, it's the truth. And they are aware, they're fully aware of this concept that God can come and make, they claim that it's emanations of himself that we can actually interact with, mankind can interact with. And they understand this concept. So even though they don't bring it forth in discussions, they're fully aware of what's in the Targums and they understand what's being taught here. So it's just so very close, or yet so far away, we could say either side, to this same concept of the Word taking on flesh. And when you point it out to them, it's almost a position that they can hardly refute. I release the mic.
Thank you, Eves. It's very good. Very good. And thank you, Petronius, for understanding. Okay. We're moving on now. We're in slide number 36 of Rico's teaching on the Mimra. Okay, speaking of the Mimra, Gershom Scholem states, this is on page 181 and 182 of his book on the mystical shape of the Godhead, or the Elohim head, it says here. I don't know that he actually called it that. Maybe this was something that, you know, I when I'm doing things like this, I very often take, I'll quote all kinds of scriptures, and then I'll go through and I'll change some words from, like, the Lord, and I'll change that to Yehovah, and I'll just go through and do a find and paste, find and replace. And sometimes I find myself, you know, changing God to Elohim, and then I have to go through and find the places where, like Paul says, Godhead, and I have to change it back to Godhead because Elohim head really sounds stupid. So anyway, here's what Gershom Scholem says about the mystical shape of the Godhead. The Mimra, the paraphrase used in the Targumim and the Aramaic Bible translations to refer to Elohim's Mimra. The Mimra is not merely a linguistic device for overcoming the problem of biblical anthropomorphisms. It has theological significance in its own right. The Memra is a world-permeating force, a reality in the world of matter or mind, and the immanent aspect of Elohim, holding all things under its omnipresent sway. Now think about that for a minute. By His word do things consist, okay? We'll probably get to that here in the next slide or two. Let's see. The Memra of the Lord is the creator of man and of the world. And the Memra of Yehovah created man in His likeness. In the likeness of Yehovah, Yehovah created. Male and female created He them. You clearly perceive that the Memra is called Yehovah, and that through Him, the uncreated, self-existing Memra, all things, visible and invisible, were created. That's in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, as we saw before. In the Jerusalem Targum, and by the way, we are on slide number 38, in the Jerusalem Targum, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, it says this, And the Memra of the Lord said unto Moses, I am He who said unto the Lord, Be, and it was. And he who in the future shall say to it, Be, and it shall be. And He said, Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now this is an interesting thing. It says, He said to the world, Be, and He will say to the future world, Be, and it was, or it shall be. Now that's really interesting, because we're looking at, I'm thinking about 2 Peter chapter 3, where he says that that this creation is reserved to fire, and it will be dissolved in a fervent heat, and then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And so this that is, and it was, he said be and it was, and in the future he's going to say be and it shall be. So it's like we're seeing here that there are going to be two creations, the one that is now and the one that shall be later. That's just very interesting to me. So Peter also had an idea of what was going on here. As Eve said earlier, they read not only the Torah, but also the Targums, okay? Because they were seen to be very good commentaries on the Torah. So, here we go. Moving on. This one you're probably not going to be able to get all in one slide here, Rip. This is, by the way, slide number 39, and it's pretty long, so listen up. Talmud, I'm not sure what the, I would guess Masoret, but I'm not sure, Nazir 47b. The question was propounded, as between the high priest anointed for war and the deputy high priest, which is of superior sanctity. Does he, the high priest anointed for war, take precedence because he is qualified to go to war? Or does the deputy take precedence because he is qualified to perform the temple service? Come and hear. For it has been taught, the only difference between the high priest anointed for war and the deputy is that if they were both walking by the way and encountered the met mitzvah, the high priest anointed for war is to defile himself, but not the deputy. But has it not been taught, a high priest anointed for war takes precedence of a deputy? Marzutra replied, As far as saving his life is concerned, the high priest anointed for war has a superior claim, for many people depend upon him. But as regards defilement, the deputy is of superior sanctity. As has been taught, Rav Hanina ben Antonogos said, that the reason that the office of deputy to the high priest was created was that should any disqualification happen to him, the high priest, he can enter and minister in his stead. Okay? But since a priest has been anointed for war, he could no longer take part in the temple service. Once a priest had been anointed for war, he could no longer take part in the temple service. Interesting. Okay. Very good, Rip. You're breaking that up into bite-sized pieces so that you can post it. That's very good. Okay. Next slide, number 38, I believe. The patriarchs believed in the Memra of Yehovah in Genesis 28:20-21. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If Elohim will be with me, and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Yehovah be my Elohim. Onkelos, in his Chaldee paraphrase, renders the vow of Father Jacob in the following manner. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if the Memra of Yehovah will be my support, and will give me in the way that I, keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Memra of Yehovah be my Elohim. Yeah, wow. Pretty cool, huh, lady? Very good. Next slide, and this is slide number 41. Yonathan ben Uziel wrote the Jerusalem paraphrase, in which I find it written on Deuteronomy 26:17. This day you have made the Memra of Yehovah to be king over you, to be your Elohim. And the Memra of Yehovah shall rule over you, having a right in his own name here too, over a people beloved as his particular people, as he has spoken unto you, that you should keep all his commandments. So we keep the commandments of the Memra of Yehovah. This is very interesting, because the Memra of Yehovah obviously is the word of Yehovah which became flesh, and therefore the commands of Yeshua are the same commands as were given on Sinai. So when the church tells you, well, we follow the commands of Yeshua, they should be saying, yes, we're also following the commands of the word of Yehovah as it came to Moshe. So I don't see any difference whatsoever. Moving on to the next slide. Who was the lawgiver? The ancient faith of my nation was that the Memra of the Lord was the lawgiver. But no other than the Memra of Yehovah has been their lawgiver is proved from the words of the Jerusalem Targum on Exodus 20 and verse 1, in which it reads as follows, and the Memra of Yehovah spoke all these glorious words. Next slide. Father Abraham's faith. We see our Father Abraham's faith in the Memra, and the uncreated Memra, at the offering of his son Isaac, upon Isaac asking in Genesis 22:7, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Our Father Abraham replied, according to the Jerusalem Targum, the Memra of the Lord will provide me a lamb. And if not, then thou, my son, shalt be the burnt offering. Whom did Moshe, our teacher, worship? Yonathan ben Uziel, in his Jerusalem Targum, said that our great teacher, Moshe, our master of blessed memory, never worshipped any other but the Memra of the Lord, in Numbers chapter 10 and verses 35 and 36. It came to pass, when the ark was lifted up, Moshe stood with his hands lifted up in prayer and said, stand up now, O Memra of Yehovah, in the strength of thy might, and let the enemies of thy people be scattered, and those that hate thee flee from before thee. And when the ark came to rest, Moshe lifted up his hands in prayer and said, return now, O Memra of Yehovah, from the might of thine anger, and come to us in thy mercies, which are so good, and bless the 10,000s, and multiply the thousands of the children of Israel. And on to the next slide. We find the children of Israel, having been brought in safety through the Red Sea, obtained the testimony in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 31. We read, they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Onkelos, in order to preserve the true faith of the children of Israel, paraphrases these words thus, and they believed in the Memra of the Lord and in the prophecy of Moshe, his servant. Okay, moving on. No oath was valid amongst my ancestors except by the Memra of Yehovah. Whew, that's good. Moses says in Deuteronomy 6:13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy Elohim and serve him and shalt swear by his name. This passage, and Yonathan ben Uziel paraphrases, ye shall fear before the presence of the Lord your Elohim, and before him ye shall worship, and by the name of the Memra of Yehovah ye shall swear in truth. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 12. Now therefore swear unto me by Yehovah, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. This passage is thus paraphrased by Yonathan ben Uziel. Now, therefore, swear unto me by the Memra of Jehovah, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Moving on to slide number 48. The elders swore to no other than the Memra of Jehovah, according to the paraphrase of Jonathan ben Uziel in Joshua 9:19. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Memra of Jehovah, the Elohim of Israel, and now, therefore, we dare not injure them. The next slide, number 50, I believe. Even the heathen knew that Israel swore by no other than the Memra of Jehovah, hence the elders of Gilead, according to the paraphrase of Jonathan ben Uziel in Judges 11:10, said, and the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Memra of Jehovah be witness between us, if we do not according to thy Memra. Remember that Memra is the Aramaic word for that is translated word by John in John chapter 1. When he's looking at the Aramaic, he's looking at the Memra. Okay, and when he translated that for the when they translated that into Greek, they wrote the logos or the word. Okay, on to slide number 50, where it is written, the reason why our ancestors swore by the Memra of the Lord, they believed in the Memra of the Lord as being truly Elohim, according to the paraphrase of Jonathan ben Uziel on 1 Samuel 20 and verse 23. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Memra of the Lord be witness between me and thee forever. Number 51. The Memra of the Lord must be obeyed as Elohim. The children of Israel, the strictest obedience to the Memra of the Lord in Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy Elohim, the voice of the Lord is Memra as well, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy Elohim will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice, the Memra, of the Lord thy Elohim. Onkelos has this paraphrase upon these words, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the Memra of the Lord thy Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, the Lord thy Elohim will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the Memra of the Lord thy Elohim. In case of disobedience to the Memra of the Lord, Moshe threatens that all the curses of the Lord should come upon the people, as Onkelos paraphrases in Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the Memra of the Lord thy Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake or cleave unto thee. Jehovah never made a covenant with any of the patriarchs except through the mediation of the Memra of Jehovah. We read in Genesis 9, chapter 17, and Elohim said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth, which Onkelos thus paraphrases. And the Lord said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between my Memra and between all the flesh that is upon the earth. In Exodus chapter 25, and the Ark of the Covenant, and thou shalt set the propitiatory upon the ark over above, and within the ark shalt thou put the testimony that I shall give thee. And I will appoint my word, Memra, with thee. And I will speak with thee from above the propitiatory, or the mercy seat, and between the two cherubim that are upon the ark of the testimony, all that I may command thee for the sons of Israel. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 7, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their Elohim. This Jonathan ben Uziel paraphrases, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Memra of the Lord their Elohim. by the word of their Lord. Okay. Who is Metatron in biblical writings? We were talking about Metatron before. This is now Rico is going to address that with us, and we are in slide number 57 at this point, and it's the beginning of a new chapter. In the book of Exodus, we read the following: Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Take heed of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. We were discussing this last night, Dee. But I'll give this to you as soon as I get through this paragraph. But if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. That's what we read last night in our study. And we're going to find out that that is the Metatron in just a second. Now I'm going to give this mic to you, Eves. It's yours.
Yeah, we did. Okay, now, in the verse that I posted, and thou shalt set the propitiatory upon the ark above, over above, and within the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I will give thee, and I will appoint my word, Memrah, with thee there, and I will speak from thee, with thee from above the propitiatory, from between the two cherubim, there on the ark of the testimony, all that I may command thee for the sons of Israel. So here we see, now imagine this, we've studied the Torah now for several years, and we know that he's talking about the Ark of the Covenant, and when God's presence was in the Holy of Holies, when he was instructing Moses, or when he was present in the Holy of Holies, what was there? What was it about the Holy of Holies that is always noted? It's the glory of God was there. Yet here we see in the commentaries that when God puts his Memrah there, he's going to speak to him, and it still doesn't render the Torah any less truthful, because the Memrah also, we see the Memrah bringing the glory of God. It has the glory of God upon it. And so that's why in the Holy of Holies, it sometimes this Memrah appeared to the men as just a voice speaking from heaven. Sometimes it appeared as the angel of the Lord, and sometimes it appeared with the glory of God, as in this case, where it's in the Holy of Holies above the cherubim in the mercy seat, you're going to have the glory of the Lord fill the Holy of Holies. So that's why when you read the Targums, you'll see consistently that this Memrah can appear as the angel of the Lord, can appear as a voice speaking from heaven, or can also appear as the glory. But you'll see that the Shekinah is used in replace of glory, where glory is actually in the Torah. But the Memrah is also likened to the presence, which is the glory of God. And that voice, that chapter, that or that verse that I just posted doesn't give a citation, but it establishes it. Because if we were to go back and look at the Torah, you're going to see that when the Memrah was there, if you were to take the Targums and compare it to the Torah when the glory was present, you would see that it was the Memrah that was there that was bringing the glory. Or they would, the Targums would say the Shekinah. So they're fully acknowledging that God appeared or emanated to man in these various forms, including the glory of the Lord that's in the Holy of Holies. I release the mic.
Amen, Eves. Very good. Good stuff. What I heard of it, I had to go away for a second, but what I heard was very good. And yes, Acushnet Bill, you are correct. The Shekinah glory is the Holy Spirit. That was that which indwelt Yeshua. So, and you know what? People, I got it from some guys. So a sliver of the Spirit of God lived in Yeshua. No. The Spirit of God lived in Yeshua. The whole thing. Okay? The whole thing also lives in me and in each one of you. Okay? And so just because we don't do the things that Yeshua did and we don't do the things that the Spirit of Elohim can do, doesn't mean that the whole Spirit of Elohim is not indwelling us. Okay? I don't get how people can limit him that way. You know? So anyway, we got halfway through slide number 58, and we'll go ahead and finish it now. Although Metatron is not the eternal, nor is he the creator, God has exalted him above all beings and gave him permission to assist in creation and authority to judge. Thus, he is part of Elohim. In Hebrew, the word Elohim denotes rulers, judges, mighty ones, chieftains, and messengers bearing the name of Yehovah. For example, the descendants of Adam were called Elohim, as was Moshe. John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim." Moving on to number 59. The Zohar defines Metatron as the head of the world of creation and the body of the Shekinah. Now that's interesting. If you think back to the image at Zion.org about the I'm having a hard time now. Anyway, the Tree of Life, the Tree of Sephiroth. If you look back at that thing, see the Metatron is that center branch of the three branch thing there. We got Elohim on the one side, Yehovah on the other, and the Metatron is right there dead center. And I see that as Messiah himself. Anyway, the Zohar defines Metatron as the head of the world and creation of the body and the body of the Shekinah. He makes an appearance throughout history as divine presence. Some say he came as Enoch. Others say he was Melchizedek. He was the face of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. He led the Israelites in the wilderness, manifest as a cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. Metatron was also identified as one who wrestled with Jacob and the one who stayed Abraham's hand from sacrificing his son Isaac. The Zohar says that the verse, "The staff of God was in his hand," speaks of Metatron. This rod is Metatron, from one side of whom comes life and from the other death. When the rod remains a rod, it is a help from the side of good. And when it is turned into a serpent, it is hostile. So that Abraham fled from it. I'm sorry, Moses fled from it. And how did I get Abraham out of Moses? Anyway, and God delivered it into his hand. This rod typifies the oral law which prescribes what is permitted and what is forbidden. Now that's from the Zohar. Okay, the more we read about the divine being Metatron, the more we see an increasing resemblance between him and God. He sits on a throne of glory. He has spread over himself a canopy of radiance, such as one over the throne of glory itself. Metatron is given God's cloak, his crown, and his name. He is authorized by God to act as his assistant. In fact, the resemblance between God and the Metatron is so close that Rabbi Avuya exclaimed, "There are two authorities in heaven. There is God himself and his word, the prince of the countenance, his express image, and the bearer of God's message." In this light, maybe we can personalize such passages as, "That night the word of the Lord came to Nathan." And, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your reward will be great.'" References to that are, by the way, the references were in there, and I don't know if they came up in the thing, but there they are right there. This is the next thing. The Zohar Glossary, the Sonsino Zohar Bereshit, section 1, page 27a, 2 Samuel 7, 4, and Genesis 15, 1. I guess those were provided by Rico. Anyway, on to the next slide, which is number 62. The signification of the name Metatron. Are there any questions or comments at this point? Real quick, like throw something in text if you have it, or raise your hand. And if not, I'll move on. Going once. Going twice. Moving on. Signification of the name Metatron. I read in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 1, and he said unto Moshe, come up unto Yehovah. And Rav Bechai taught me on page 114, column 1, in the Amsterdam edition, Elohim said to Moshe, come up unto Yehovah, this is Metatron. He is called by this name Metatron because in this name are implied two significations, which indicate his character. He is Lord and Messenger. There is also a third idea implied in the name Metatron. It signifies a keeper. For in the Chaldee language, a keeper or watchman is called Matarat. And because he is the keeper, preserver of the world, he is called in Psalm 121:4, the keeper of Israel. From the signification of this name, of his name, we learn that he is the Lord over all which is below, because all the hosts of heaven and all things upon the earth are put under his power and might. The Memra of Yehovah is not only called the Angel of the Covenant, but also the Metatron. Rabbi Simeon ben Yochai taught me, Zohar, volume 3, page 227, in the Amsterdam edition, the middle pillar, oh, wait a minute, we were just talking about the Tree of Sephiroth. There are three pillars, okay? The middle pillar in the Godhead is the Metatron, who has accomplished peace above according to the glorious state there. Interesting stuff. Next slide. No one, not even Moses, has ever seen Elohim, but he saw the Metatron who appeared before him, Rav Menachem of Rekanati, on this passage in Exodus chapter 24, verse 1. And he said unto Moshe, come up unto Yehovah, and found his explanation. The great and exalted Elohim is speaking to Moshe. He said unto him that he should come up to Yehovah, which is Metatron, who is oftentimes called with the name of Elohim, alluding to the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord, which is thus called. And the reason why he saith come up is as if he had said, ascend to the place of glory where there is the angel, the Redeemer, because no one can come to the great Elohim, for it is written in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20, there shall no man see me and live. The Metatron is an emanation of Elohim, an emanation of Yehovah. The Metatron being the center pillar of the Tree of Sephiroth, okay? We see on the right hand, Yehovah, the right hand being the mercy and grace of Yehovah, and the left hand being Elohim, the righteousness and judgment of Elohim. And the melding of the two together is the Metatron or the Messiah. Okay? Moving on to the next slide, which is number 65. And is 65 of 75. We have 10 more to go after this. The titles of Metatron, or the Keeper. Otiot, the Rabbi Akiva, gave us some of Metatron's titles, which reveal his nature. Metatron is the angel, the prince of Elohim's countenance, the angel, the prince of the law, the angel, the prince of might, the angel, the prince of glory, the angel, the prince of the temple, the angel, the prince of kings, the angel, the prince of lords, the angel, the prince of the high exalted mighty princes of the heavens and on the earth. The King of Kings, in other words. This is just so cool. How do they miss him? Anyway, Metatron is the only mediator between Elohim and man in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 19. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It is written, and they said unto Moshe, speak thou with us, and we will hear, and let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. Reading this passage and knowing that my nation, the children of Israel, never approached Elohim without the mediation of a priest or of a high priest. Oh, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Messiah Yeshua. Okay, Rav Simeon ben Yochai, to inquire whether any mortal or sinful man dare approach Elohim without a mediator, and I received the following instruction, the Zohar, Volume 2, Exodus, page 51 in the Amsterdam edition. 1. Genesis 3:24, to keep the way of the tree of life. 2. Who is the way of the tree of life? It is the great Metatron. For he is the way of to the great tree, to that mighty tree of life. In the Hebrew and its cognate dialects, the feminine form expresses tender love. Rav Simeon ben Yochai speaks here, and in other places in his works, of Metatron in the feminine form, in order to express the great love our Heavenly Father has to Metatron. Number 3. Thus it is written, Exodus 14:19, the angel of Elohim, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. 4. The Metatron is called the angel of Elohim. Yes, Akushnet Bill, divine wisdom, correct. Divine understanding, I should say. The Father is divine wisdom, the Mother is divine understanding, and the two of them together create the... Okay, so anyway, we move on. This is slide number 68. Number 5. Come and see, thus says Rav Simeon, the Holy One, blessed be He, has prepared for Himself a holy temple above in the heavens, a holy city, a city in the heavens, and called it Yerushalayim, the holy city. All of the ancients believed in such a heavenly and spiritual Jerusalem. Thus, the Chaldee paraphrase, Psalm 122:3, Jerusalem is builded in the firmament in heaven, as a city that is compact together, as the one on the earth. I think we saw this again last night, did we not? Eve's Garden. Every petition went to the king, sent to the king, must be through Metatron, number 6. Number 7, every message and petition from here below must first go to the Metatron and from thence to the king. Number 8, Metatron is the mediator of all that cometh from heaven down to the earth and from the earth up to heaven. Number 9, and because he is the mediator of all, and it is written, Exodus 14:19, and the angel of Elohim, which went before the camp of Israel, removed, that is, before Israel, which is above. Number 10, the angel of Elohim is the same of whom it is written in Exodus 13:21, and Yehovah went before them, and etc., to go by day and by night, as the ancients have expounded it. Number 11, whoever will speak to me, says Elohim, shall not be able to do so till he has made it known to Metatron. Number 12, thus the Holy One, blessed be He, on account of the great love to and mercy which He has over the congregation of Israel, commits her, the congregation, to Metatron's care. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head of all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. What shall I do for Him? Number 13, Metatron. I will commit my whole house to His hand, henceforward to be a keeper, as it is written in Psalm 121:4, the keeper of Israel. Slide number 72 of 75. Matthew chapter 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. In light of all of the things that we've read just now about the Metatron, we see in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27 that Yeshua is claiming to be the Metatron. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Yeshua came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Everything that we've read so far about the Metatron, Mashiach Yeshua is here saying that He is the Metatron. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, which He wrought in Messiah, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Again, Paul is saying that Yeshua is this Metatron that we've been looking at for the last few minutes. In Philippians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 11, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore Elohim hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua Messiah is Yehovah, to the glory of Elohim the Father. Slide number 73. The Almighty, Shaddai, has revealed himself in no other than in the Metatron, the keeper of Israel. It follows that if God has revealed himself in the uncreated, self-existing Word, Memra, which is also called the Angel of the Covenant, who is Metatron, that the Almighty has revealed himself in the Keeper of Israel. This was also the faith of our ancestors in the Zohar, volume 3, page 231, the following passage: the garment of the Almighty is the Metatron. Wow. So the Almighty is clothed in the Metatron, or in Messiah. We see him in Messiah. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. This is stuff that they've been teaching for thousands and thousands of years. How they missed this, I don't know. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Messiah, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Elohim was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Very obvious that we're talking about Messiah, and that we are referring to the concept of the Metatron, the Memra, the Angel of Yehovah. Metatron is called the Son of God, Rav Moshe Buttarelli, a nice Italian boy. On the Book of Creation, I read these words. The Kabbalists call the second Sephirah Metatron, the Keeper, which is an inferior name to his name, the Son of Elohim. When Joshua said in 5:13 through 15, art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, nay, as a prince of the host of Yehovah I am come. In other words, the Metatron appeared unto Joshua. Okay? It was Messiah that appeared to Joshua. Now, personally, I think that when the Messiah showed himself to the patriarchs and to the prophets of the Old Testament, when he showed himself to them, it was the risen Messiah, complete with nail prints, complete with all of that stuff, and that they saw him as he is now, resurrected. Okay, now I'm going on to the next chapter, next slide, which should be the last. Well, that was the last. Well, that was 70. Oops, what happened? 72 or 75. I'm sorry. Moving on. Here we go. No, that was the last one. I'm sorry. That was the last slide. Okay, so when people will tell you that the Kabbalah is witchcraft, you have to understand that they do not understand. Okay? Because witches use something to their own end does not mean that it is witchcraft. Okay? It's hard to understand? Very definitely. Just like Paul was hard to understand. Okay? Very definitely. Should you be looking into the Kabbalah? Probably not a good thing to do. Especially someone as young as me, being only 57 and only 30 some years in the spirit of Elohim. Kabbalah is not a good idea for those of us who do not understand to get into. But there are things in there that can be gleaned that can help us. And therefore, we should not just dismiss it because somebody says it is Kabbalah. Or if somebody says it's from the Zohar, which is the base text of the Kabbalah. Okay? We should not just dismiss it as being something wicked, because it is not. It is a commentary, just like it says right there in the text. Thank Yah says Kabbalah is commentary. That is exactly right. As is the Talmud, it is commentary. There is stuff in there that is very good, and there is stuff in there that is not very good. Okay? And you got to use your discernment. You have to have the spirit of Elohim working in you. And so it's not a good idea for us to look into them unless we are prepared for it. Okay? Unless we are very well grounded in Torah. Very well grounded. And most of us, I'm afraid, are not well enough grounded to do that. Will this teaching be available to share with others? It is available on Rico's website. If you are a member and can get to all of his stuff, it's all available. Okay? Rip Van just posted everything in the text that I read. I read everything that there was in this particular teaching. I find it fascinating. Okay? DR may be recording this. That's true. I don't know if he is or not. But if that's the case, yeah. Eve's Garden, you have your hand up and you may have the mic. And I'm going to go get myself something to drink while you're at it. So keep it for a couple of minutes.
Okay. I find it remarkable that the sages of Judaism had this, or still do, they have this knowledge and they have this same understanding, which is almost identical in some regards to what we understand. So the only difference, the biggest difference that I see is that we have come to the conclusion as a group of Torah studiers, at least in my observation, that Yeshua is the Word who became flesh. He's our Messiah. We also have come collectively to the understanding that he was appearing in the Old Testament as well, in all these instances that were cited in this study, but in numerous other instances as well. The difference is they have coined a name for him when he appeared in those fashions, and they're calling that name Metatron. So that's the biggest distinction, that they've given this label, this name to him who was appearing as the angel of the Lord and the voice of the Lord and the glory of the Lord, and they're calling that Metatron. But there is no difference in their understanding than our understanding, that it was the appearance. I do not believe that they claim Metatron is the spirit of Messiah, although they do acknowledge that the spirit of Messiah was eternal and ever existed. But I'd have to study and ask someone to see if they say that Metatron is the spirit of Messiah. I somewhat believe that they probably don't. And that's a difference. Now, on the other hand, it's amazing how if we wanted to go and sort of Fulfilling Torah talked about something that I presented last night. It was not nearly on this depth, and I just put it together yesterday. And I didn't use other sources like the Targums. But nonetheless, one of the things I talked about was the angel of the Lord, showing that I believe that both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, Yeshua has an angel. And he calls the angel his angel. And when you read John 1, you'll see that his angel, Yeshua's angel, is the one that's delivering the vision and the message to John, the Revelator. And then at the end, in Revelation 22, his angel is there again speaking. So as you take that theme of his angel and then you take it back into the Old Testament, you can, on your own, establish these points that are in the rabbinic writings just through the Torah alone. You'll never find Metatron, because that's a term that they've given to this appearance or manifestation of the Messiah. And you probably, and I know we won't find in the Old Testament that the appearance of the angel of the Lord was called the Messiah, but you see that angel of the Lord was given all the authority of Messiah in the Old Testament. And you can establish these same points that the rabbinic sages have established for thousands of years and written in these texts just by reading the Torah alone. So I think that if you wanted to study this out, you could study it certainly just through the Torah and the New Testament and the appearances to John the Revelator, John the Baptist in the wilderness, and Paul has some interaction with the angel of the Lord, I believe, when he's crashed on that island. And so, and then if you go back to all the instances in the Old Testament, you will be able to grasp an understanding that God wants us to have through his word on who this angel is, even without researching these other documents that are expensive and hard to get a hold of. But I'm talking about the Targums being expensive. I don't think the Zohar, it's easily and readily available, but it's expensive as well. But you don't have to bring in those other source documents to have this understanding. It's right there in the Word of God. I just find it amazing that they being the Jews, have this understanding, and that they have even gone so far as to give this understanding of our Messiah a particular name, so that they could speak to one another about these appearances, and that name is Metatron. I release the mic.
Thank you, very good. Metatron, yes. Metatron. The Zohar is online. I just downloaded something to my computer, a link. Let me get there for a second here. This is under Messianic sites. No, it's not under Messianic sites. It's under regular Jewish sites. I'm sorry. We have the Babylonian Talmud is online in English, and you can get it in PDF. This is the entire Sinsino Babylonian Talmud. You can get it on PDF at www.halakha.com. H-A-L-A-K-H-A-H. .com. And they present the entire Sonsino Zohar. It's on PDF. You may download whatever you want from there. Okay. Now that is, of course, Talmud, Babylonian Talmud. And so there's going to be there are going to be good things in there, and there's going to be a lot of crap. So, you know, use your discernment as best you can. And let's see, are there other things here? Let's see. Not right there. Anyway, I'm pretty certain that you can find the Targums on there as well. Let me see about that. I'm going to do a... web search. The Jewish Targums by Bruce Metzger, Targum Bibliography. Nothing here about it actually being available online. Oh, wait a minute. Cal Targum Search. Aramaic Targum Search. Okay, so you need to... I'm guessing you need to have a knowledge of Aramaic. You do, because everything is in Hebrew or Aramaic. So I don't see that there are any available. Anyway, yeah, there's halakha.com. You can get the entire Sinsino's Babylonian Zohar. I'm sorry, Talmud. Babylonian Talmud. It's really interesting, by the way. The Babylonian Talmud was actually written in Jerusalem, and the Jerusalem Talmud was actually written in Babylon. Why they did that, I don't know. Yeah, it can be. If you want a good overview of the Metatron, I put the link online to yashanet.com. And in the Revelation Bible study, the first page that comes up will be the background information. And in there, and there are four or five different sections. In the second section, the third one down, is about Metatron. No. Well, not necessarily. There are some people say that Metatron is Messiah. Metatron is Messiah Yeshua. If you read the stuff about the Metatron that we went through in Rico's teaching today, you'll be amazed at just what it says of who the Metatron is, and how the Jews missed him as being the word of Elohim, the Metatron of Elohim, when he claimed it himself, is just amazing to me. And Rip just put up the thing for the thing on the Metatron. It's good stuff. That yashanet.com is a very good website. The Revelation study, again, is very, very deep Hebrew mysticism. But that particular Hebrew mysticism runs throughout Revelation. It's very hard to understand Revelation without understanding what they knew or what they taught. Okay. Okay. So, other questions or comments? Okay. Does fulfilling Torah mean to follow all the 613 statutes in the five books of Moses? Fulfilling Torah means to try to interpret it properly, just like Yeshua meant it. I can't possibly keep all 613 statutes. It's not possible. And I don't think you can either. It is not possible. Because one of those 613 statutes, something about Nidah and keeping myself separate from, you know, for 2 weeks. And I'm sorry, I'm not a female. So, you know, I can't do that. So that's one of the little deals. Okay. Correct, thank Yah. Keep means to guard, uphold, honor. Exactly right. It means to guard. And that's the main meaning of the word shamar, to guard. So, what parts are kept? Those that apply to me. Okay? I mean, I don't have anything to do with a bunch of the things that apply strictly to Levites, because I'm not a Levite. There are about 230 or 240, things that actually do apply to me on an everyday basis, and therefore those are the things that I try to keep. I try to perform. There are some that are negative. Those are the ones that I try not to perform. And there are those that are positive. Those are the ones that I try to perform. Okay. I do not have a list of them right here handy, no. But I can go through the list of 613 you can find on the web, and I can point out which ones apply to me and which ones don't. I'm not going to do that right now, though. You know what? Maybe if I remember to do that, I'll throw something like that together and post it somewhere. Well, yeah, but you know what? There are lots of places. You know, you can just do a Google search on 613 commandments, and there are listings of them in a lot of places. So you can go and take those 613 commandments and look through them yourself. There's one that I know of that has them broken down by the 365 negative commandments, one for each day of the year, and the 278, I think it is, positive commandments, and 258 positive commandments, and if you look at them, you can see which ones actually apply to you and which ones don't. And you know, just that's all. I think there are about 240 or 250 some, something like that, that actually do apply to me. And so those are the ones that I try to keep. Jewfact.org. Very good. Thank you, Rip. That's exactly right. Amazing. 258 positive commandments. You shall do this. And 635 negative commandments. You shall not do this. Okay? Like, you shall not have other gods before me. You shall honor your father and your mother. That is well with you. Okay, so we have positive and negative commandments right in the 10 commandments. Now those 10 apply to everyone. Okay? But then they're broken down into 613. There are 603 commandments that fall under those 10. Those 10 are like an outline. Yeah, there are probably more than 700. If you want to go through all of the commandments everywhere in the scripture, and there are some in the New Testament, there are well over 1,000. You know, but if you look at the commandments that are given in Torah, you'll find that there are about 613 or so. Okay. Oh yeah, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. You know, that's not a new commandment, really. But it was new to them, probably. There are only two basic commandments, yeah. There's actually only one basic commandment. That is Yehovah, or Elohim. Yehovah is one. Okay? And you shall love Yehovah with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Okay? So you got the one overarching one, which is the Shema. And then under that you have the two major ones, love Yehovah, love your neighbor. And from those, all the other 610 commandments hang. Okay, so you got a thesis statement, you've got two major points, and then you have the outline points underneath that. I try to look at it like an outline. It makes me to understand. Yes, exactly. Thank you. That is the central truth of Scripture. Yehovah is one. And you know what? It won't be long that the 30,000 some Christian denominations and the however many others of Judaism will all come to be one. And in that time, Yehovah's name will be one. Okay? It's not that long in the future. Exactly right. Absorbin Jr., I love it. Exactly right. Obedience to the mitzvot is useless if you are not in Yehovah and you're not loving Him with all your heart and all your soul. You're absolutely correct. And it basically, that is religion. Keeping those things without the love of Elohim in you is religion. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments? Absorbing Junior, smells like menthol. Yes, correct. Okay. I'm not seeing any other questions or comments. No one has something they want to add. I'll give them a mic if they have a mic to use. And if not, we can call this Midrash done. I'll probably do something very similar to this next week. Find somebody, or maybe I'll do my own PowerPoint on the Sabbath that I just got finished with last week. You're very welcome, Daryl and Yah. Oh, Daryl and Yah, I'm going to send you a private message, and I'd like you to watch for it, okay? And I'm going to give this room back over to Ripper, and he can play some music, or he can play that 180. It's about a half hour. Whatever you want to do, Ripper. The room is yours. I'm going to sign off now, but I'll be around for a little while. But I'm going to sign off now and tell you Shavua Tov and Yeshua Messiah. I hope this was a blessing to you, and we'll see you next week. Yah willing, and the creek don't rise.